Captain Kevin Smith, and this is Throttle Up, a radio show and podcast dedicated to the proposition that critical thinking, when employed, can dramatically improve performance in whatever we are doing, enable us to solve problems that others avoid, equip us to become thought leaders instead of followers, and provide us with the intellectual resources and moral courage to support and defend America and its Constitution. Our motto is clarify, reason, win. That is, clarify the actual, employ analytic reason, and achieve mission success. Our website, throttleupradio.com, that has all kinds of information. Also, our podcast is located there, as well as iTunes. And of course, we have a blog, so please visit our website. Our support staff, Evergroove Studios for audio engineering services. They are located in Evergreen, Colorado, and Reflections Printing for multimedia support, and they are located in St. George, Utah. Our book is Critical Thinking Essentials, Quick Reference Handbook. It is available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. Our broadcast time on Red State Talk Radio, we are on the weekends, both Saturday and Sunday, on the main channel, that's at 7 p.m., and the Encore channel, that's at 6 p.m. Okay, welcome back to another Throttle Up. Now, we are running a special edition series, or a series of shows, and that are called special editions. Now, we do this from time to time, and I've mentioned this before. And so you might ask yourself, or ask me, what's the justification for doing such a thing? And the purpose is that, well, I mean, there's there's a couple of ways to look at it. The first way is Throttle Up is not your prototypical radio show. It is a show that at least attempts to provide solutions. So we're not going to give you a laundry list of socioeconomic problems. There's plenty of places you can go to figure out what are the current events and current socioeconomic issues that are facing the country, political issues. What are the overriding international issues? And having said that, I tend to focus on the international stuff quite a bit, because we do live on this globe and this planet, and it's very good to see what's going on across the world, so we have some idea of what could happen or what may happen in the future. So future events, that kind of stuff. But now we wanted to make this show a bit different. And certainly it's outside the box. And as far as, we're concerned here, that's okay and that's good. So we try to provide, at least in some way, provide solutions that you can use take home with you or whatever, or consider in your lives. It could be your personal lives, could be your professional life, or all the above. So we try to be solutions focused on the show, and so that's what it makes it different. Now, is it going to be popular and widely received, and what have you? And I guess my answer is I'm not really sure, you know, and that's probably not important for us. The marketplace is what it is, and we've been around a while, so I guess we are somewhat successful, and I believe we are. Now, we have a radio show and a podcast. Soon we're going to have a video channel on YouTube. That's in the works. And there's other things that are in the works as well. And so that is something that that we continue to, improve. We continue to look at our footprint and see if it can be expanded. And of course it can. There's lots of media outlets and what have you. So we've even done a few press releases and stuff like that. So yes, so all of the above, but it is a different kind of show, and it's attempting to provide some kind of solutions to deal with this modern world of ours and living in this modern industrial society. What are the solutions? How can we deal with these socioeconomic changes? How can we think about the world of politics from a critical thinking standpoint, not from a political science standpoint, but from a critical thinking standpoint? And that's a different way of thinking from the norm, but I think it's also useful to be able to do so. It's also useful in whatever we are doing. It's useful it's useful to think critically about something. And thinking critically could be no more than just asking yourself, how should I think about this? And that starts you on the road to thinking critically about important issues, things that are important to you, to your family, to your community, and to your country. How should I think critically about this thing that's happening, or this thing that is likely to happen, or whatever? Okay, so this is a continuing series, and it's called The Big Picture Thinking. And this is episode number 10 in the Big Picture Thinking series. I kind of think this is going to be it for this series, at least for the time being, but I'm not sure, because we have a full show here, and I'm not sure we're going to be able to get through it. But let's say that right now, what I'm thinking about as I do this this 10th episode, what I'm thinking about is that this may very well be it, but I'm not sure for a couple of reasons. Number one is that I really enjoy getting involved in this kind of stuff. This is like my cup of tea. I really enjoy it. And I hope you can get that sense by listening to this series. And frankly, I'd encourage all of us to listen to the series. You can play it again and again. It's on podcast. You can go to my web page, throttleupradio.com or iTunes, either one, and get these Throttle Up Radio podcasts that are available in archive form, and you can listen to them at your pleasure. And so, anyway, so this is episode number 10 of Big Picture Thinking. And why are we talking about big picture thinking? Well, the first thing I want to mention is that big picture thinking embraces all those areas that have the word thinking in them, or all those categories that have the word thinking in them. And I might expand that very, very a little bit. And I know this gets a little bit confusing. Nevertheless, I think that the thinking industry is still a little bit confused. But I would say that anything that contains the word thinking or reasoning is something that could be embraced by what I call big picture thinking. So big picture thinking is kind of the, you know, the super function, if you will. Big picture thinking is kind of the big daddy, or the 900-pound gorilla in the room. That's the big thing, big picture thinking. And it embraces all the stuff that you would expect it to. Critical thinking, of course. That's a major thing. Strategic thinking, systems thinking, design thinking, lateral thinking, and the list is kind of goes on from there. Higher order thinking. I also use the term, I like the higher order reasoning better. Because reasoning is thinking with a purpose. There is a book that is published recently, published by Oxford University, that is called Thinking and Reasoning. And so they use the two terms together. And so they're closely related. They claim that reasoning is thinking with a purpose. And thinking is thinking. It could be anything. It could be casual thinking or purposeful thinking. And so we're going to go with that. That's a pretty good definition. I don't necessarily agree with it completely, but it is good. It's a good definition. So so big picture thinking addresses all the above, if you will. Or another way of saying that is that big picture thinking can address all of the above. So that's good. All right. So that's the whole purpose of this. All right. So we're going to dive right in here. Now, the first order of business is once again, we are going to mention, this once again. And this is a little bit new, but we're going to mention the Future of Jobs report again. Now, the Future of Jobs report for the year 2020 has just been issued by the World Economic Forum. And this is really fascinating stuff. And this gets right to the heart of what we're trying to do here in this radio show, Throttle Up Radio. The Future of Jobs report, and they list the 10 top skills to thrive in the year 2020. Okay. Number one skill is complex problem solving. The number two skill is critical thinking. And the number three skill is creativity. Those are the top three. And let me repeat that for emphasis. The top three skills in order to thrive in the year 2020 is complex problem solving, critical thinking, and creativity. There are others that they list, things like people management and coordination, emotional intelligence, and stuff like that. But the top three all fall under the category of creative and critical thinking or complex problem solving. Now, you can also say that complex problem solving embraces things like critical thinking and creativity. All right. So, and that's fine. I would say that it's probably true. And I would add one other thing to this from my perspective. And that is big picture thinking is in fact critical thinking taken to a higher level. And we're going to call it having a little bit different terminology here. We're going to call it big picture thinking, but it certainly embraces critical thinking and it embraces complex problem solving. And it is certainly involved in innovation and creativity. Okay, so that's great. And that's why we're doing this. All right, so the first order of business is we're going to talk about, and this is a rather fascinating discussion. We're going to be listening to an audio, and the audio is entitled Systems Change. And we're going to be listening to that as we kind of like a way for us to kick off this this 10th episode on big picture thinking. I think it's a very important discussion. Also, we do play these audios from time to time, these audio clips from time to time, to let you know what other people are considering, what other people are thinking about. And you notice that I'm not the only one that is considering these kinds of things or these alterations in conventional thinking or the ability to think big, to think outside the box, to think in an unconstrained way. So thinking without constraints is also a good way to describe big picture thinking, critical thinking from a broad perspective is in fact big picture thinking. Now, if you look at that as a body of knowledge, you'll notice that big picture thinking is kind of sparsely populated. There's not a lot of material out there yet. I do think that's changing, but nevertheless, you may have to do some searching around, look at higher order thinking or certainly higher order reasoning. I use those terms synonymously. I think they probably are. So you may have to do some searching around there. But anyway, so we'll listen to this. It's really fascinating as we kick off this this 10th episode of Big Picture Thinking.
The term systems change is quite a new one, but it is certainly no accident that it has come to our collective vocabulary at these times. In many ways, we can recognize it as an emerging response to the conditions of our age and the way that our world has evolved over the past few decades. As such, it should be of value to us to say a bit about this broader context in our endeavor to better understand systems change. Many processes of change have transformed our world over the past several decades at a stunning pace. The growth in global population, the expansion of a standardized industrial technology infrastructure around the planet, the great acceleration of economic activity, the expansion of the market system around the world, the advent of information technology and a global telecommunications network that interconnects billions of people. All these developments have brought us into an age of complexity, where much, if not most, of how our world works and how we coordinate human affairs in terms of social institutions, economic production and exchange, technology infrastructure, and our socio-ecological systems is now mediated and interlinked by highly complex systems. These complex systems take the form of networks that span across traditional domains, jurisdictions, and the boundaries of our industrial modes of organizing. We find ourselves in a world of complex systems that our traditional ways of thinking and organizing leave us ill-prepared to manage and direct. Our failure to understand, design, or manage these complex networks leaves us in a world of fractured industrial-age systems and structures that create huge negative externalities. In every aspect of our lives, we now find that we form part of systems, be they by supply chains where our clothes come from, food systems, energy systems, our political organizations, or financial systems that are fractured, where our actions have small negative externalities that accumulate on the macro level to render them dysfunctional over time, unsustainable, and leading us towards mounting crisis. MIT professor Otto Scharmer asks a poignant question along these lines when he says, "The fact that we collectively create results that nobody wants in almost any kind of system today, how can we make sense of that?" Increasingly, it is recognized that the failure of such systems is not an accident or the product of any one actor in the system, but instead a product of the very way the systems we inhabit and depend upon are organized, with a resultant growing demand to change those systems rather than just changing any of their parts. Our initial reaction to the unfolding sustainability crisis was to throw stones at the bad guys, the energy companies, corrupt politicians, the banks, to take piecemeal actions and hope that they would suffice. But in recent years, such simplified solutions appear more limited in the face of the complexity of the issues and a lack of desired results. Today, leading environmental organizations, NGOs, foundations, public institutions, research centers, and a growing number of individuals are starting to think differently. They are starting to look beyond the immediate pain points, asking if there is a different way to respond to the scale of the challenges that would be of an appropriate kind to match their scope. These challenges are now increasingly recognized to be complex and interconnected. Russell Ackoff found his own terminology for these kinds of challenges. "English does not contain a suitable word for system of problems. Therefore, I've had to coin one. I choose to call such a system a mess." Messes we now term wicked problems. We now start to see these challenges as systemic, open-ended, co-evolving, and with no known solutions, requiring new ways of innovating, new ways of leading, organizing, and responding. A way that leverages the power of the very complexity that creates these challenges. A way that is not incremental or linear, but holistic and networked. An approach that works with complexity rather than pushing against it. This approach is inspired by and based upon a new way of thinking, embodied in complexity theory and systems thinking, a powerful new set of ideas that hinge around holism, systems, emergence, self-organization, nonlinearity, networks, adaptation, resilience, etc. This new thinking shines a light on the limitations of our existing approaches and why we don't seem to get the outcomes we hope for. Today, if something breaks in our societal systems, we separate it out into parts, analyze, find the faulty part, and switch it out for a better one. The problem with this is that rarely does it result in the kind of change leaders hope for. Instead, they are often confronted by new problems caused by the initial solution. And the initial problem might also be back and bigger this time. This reductionist approach focuses our attention and response on separate parts, rather than asking how those parts are interrelated into the whole. As such, it blinds us to the patterns and networks that we need to influence so as to drive large-scale changes. An analytical approach draws upon the past to give us a sense of the future. We start to see the world as predictable and controllable, so we start to plan incremental linear progress, when rarely is it the case in complex environments, and we lose the potential for the kinds of radical, nonlinear change processes that are really needed. We fail to see the whole context within which events happen, so we think we have to change the events themselves, when a much more powerful approach is to change the context. We see static snapshots, so we try to shape the outcome to each new event, when what is needed is to better understand the dynamic processes that shape those events. This new approach that builds upon systems thinking is now termed systems change. Systems change is about changing the underlying structure to a complex system, to change its behavior and outcomes. This stands in contrast to more traditional approaches that rarely question system structure, but focus on changing components, events, and outcomes. The hope is that by seeing system structure, by changing those structures and organizing in new ways, we can create patterns and institutions that better organize us in synergistic ways.
Okay, welcome back. Now, that was a, I thought that was a particularly good discussion of systems change and systems thinking, holistic thinking, nonlinear thinking, those kinds of things. And that's one of the, you know, that's one of the areas that we're trying to address here. We're trying to address those areas that we think are important with respect to trying to understand what is actually going on at the systems level, not the component level, not the isolated event, not the formless collection of data surrounding random events, as Dietrich Dorner points out. And that's, we're not suggesting that is a particularly good way to consider things. That's not a particularly good way to model reality. We need a different model of reality. We need a model of reality that embraces systems thinking, critical thinking, and not least of which is big picture thinking. And our model of reality needs to be able to, well, handle... needs to be able to productively utilize conceptual constructs that embrace big picture thinking, that embrace holism, overarching attributes, and the purpose by which we are pursuing something. What is the purpose? What is the mission? A mission statement is, in fact, an attempt to create a holistic picture of something or other, a holistic picture of some kind of activity or activities, and that is the purpose of that. All right, so this is a great audio clip. It's one of my all-time favorites, and I'm glad we were able to get that on this show, this 10th episode of Big Picture Thinking. Now, now I'm going to be following up on this, and I want to read, paraphrase, if you will, read to you some stuff that has just been published by McKinsey and Company, and we talked about that before. McKinsey and Company is a management consulting firm, and I get a lot of their stuff that they put out because, you know, it's part of show prep for me and for Throttle Up. So this one I thought was pretty much was right on the mark. Now, as I read this, keep in mind what I just mentioned earlier. In the Future of Jobs report, the top 10 skills, or actually, this is I'm focusing on the top 3 skills in order for us to thrive in the year 2020 and beyond. The top 3 skills, again, are complex problem solving, critical thinking, and creativity. All right. So what we're going to be talking about now is this article, and it's really, I think it's really fascinating because it really speaks directly to what we're trying to address here. The title of the article is Winning in Automation Requires a Focus on Humans. And it starts off by saying, oh, and by the way, this is an article written by Coyne, Larson, Scheel, and Yeohan, four authors. I'm assuming they're part of this organization, McKinsey. Okay, so it starts off by saying, while organizations are often tempted to use automation to eliminate work, looking at the customer experience for growth opportunities can maximize returns on automation investments. Okay. Then it goes on to say, although corporate adoption of automation technology is becoming more widespread, it says that success remains elusive. Three-quarters of the respondents in the 2018 McKinsey Global Survey say their companies have begun to automate some business processes or plan to do so within the next year. Yet, many find total returns have fallen short of their expected target. Goes on to say, our client work indicates there are two main reasons for this. First, too many organizations fail to consider how automating certain steps in a business or customer-facing process will affect upstream or downstream handoffs and connections, which can introduce new inefficiencies, capping the value delivered by automation. Now, I will say parenthetically here that you notice what these words are implying. They're implying that a systems approach is not being considered. They're implying that that these efforts are more piecemeal. They are more component driven, and without a big picture perspective, these automation attempts will likely not produce the desired results. Let me continue with this. These solutions tend to deliver only an incremental and often temporary cost savings advantage, given that most companies are working to make the same basic efficiency improvements. Goes on to say, to improve results, organizations need to approach automation differently, unlike isolated fixes that are easy for competitors to mimic. Companies that use automation to provide richer engagement and streamlined services can create more durable forms of differentiation that allow investment dollars to work harder and stretch further. Achieving those gains requires systems thinking. It's kind of a remarkable statement. Don't you love it? Yes. All right. I'll say that again. This is great. Achieving those gains requires systems thinking. Instead of narrowly focusing on cost reduction, systems thinking focuses on growth and forces teams to consider the customer experience end to end. It goes on to say, this broader view, and I would also call it this big picture view, this broader view allows companies to see where automation should be employed, what technologies make the most sense for different activities, and what processes need to be redesigned. In an approach that we call automation experience design, and it has been proven to help companies capture a much larger share of the total benefit from automation. All right, so it goes on to say, adopting a growth mindset can boost returns and lower risks. Our research, the article continues, our research finds that most early automation efforts focus on repetitive, predictable, low-value tasks in an effort to gain quick wins from labor reduction, cost savings, and productivity. But while simple processes fixes seem expedient, they often take longer to achieve than planned. Addressing poor quality data, multiple customer or business line variations, and a complex array of technologies are among the challenges that can add cost and time to automation efforts. Continues, another complicating factor is that not all activities lend themselves to automation. McKinsey research shows that about 50% of tasks are automatable with the technology available today. That leaves 50% that are not automatable or non-automatable. The decision-making steps, interactions, and handoffs that analytics and other technologies can improve, but not entirely put on autopilot. Often, these non-automatable elements come to light only when organizations break a process down and unpack the component parts. This is why successful automation adopters assume a mindset that focuses on growth. When we assumed the automation programs of, state that sentence again. When we assessed the automation programs of more than 35 companies, this article says, we found that those seeing the greatest return from their automation investments are significantly more likely to have a bold aspiration oriented toward long-term growth. And McKinsey research shows that organizations that meet automation goals are far less likely to view automation as a means to reducing costs and more likely to see it as a strategic lever. He goes on to say, because growth-minded organizations focus on maximizing total returns and not just cost savings, they are also far more likely to take an end-to-end ecosystem view. I would also say, in my words, I would say a big picture perspective. But let me continue. That view, it says, lets them anticipate dependencies and handoffs early on, sparing them the costly rework that impedes many other organizations and helping them to avoid painful transformation missteps. Similarly, because they are interested in wringing top-line value from their investments, these organizations are more likely to consider how automation could be used to support customer goals. For example, a customer care agent relieved from having to take down basic name and address information could be retrained to solve specific customer problems as well as upsell and cross-sell using analytics gleaned from dashboards and other tools, providing more responsive service and easing workload elsewhere in the company. Now, that certainly is a big picture perspective. Four keys to this initiative. It says, and I'm continuing with this rather fascinating article. All right. To truly understand the pain points that automation can address and those places where human engagement is crucial, businesses must consider the sequence of interactions required to complete a task or customer journey end to end. Managing that choreography efficiently requires systems thinking. So this kind of thinking, they call it AXD, is a design and orchestration framework that helps companies keep their automation efforts on track. It looks across the entire customer journey to key in on important moments and then peels back the operational layers before determining which type of automation technologies to employ and how to optimize processes, handoffs, and interactions. This holistic approach helps companies realize significantly greater returns from their automation investments, and because users and stakeholders are closely involved in the design project, the changes are more likely to stick. Following are the four key elements of the framework. Okay, four key elements of the framework. First one is to map the customer journey end to end. A customer journey describes a series of steps a customer or user takes to complete a given task, including the channels and touch points they interact with and the needs and questions they have at each stage. For most businesses, mapping these journeys can be eye-opening. Charting what it takes for a customer to return a pair of shoes, settle a billing dispute, open a bank account, or another journey can reveal moments that work well and others that result in frustration. Customer research, interviews, and analyses can shine a light on process bottlenecks, such as fragmented data systems that make it hard to view a customer's complete transaction history or process basic form-filling tasks. The research can also surface opportunities to delight the customer. For instance, knowing what percentage of a given segment prefers to interact by telephone versus email, app, or in person can help companies figure out where to focus their efforts and where to pull back. Likewise, a combination of human and machine, such as a timely callback from an account representative or a helpful artificial intelligence-powered concierge to guide customers through an account opening process, can inject new value and allow the businesses to create more cohesive experiences. And the second item here is called Draft the Operational Blueprint. So I'm continuing with this article, Winning in Automation Requires a Focus on Humans. That's the title of the article. So it says here that the Operational Blueprint captures key transitions and handoffs, notes critical skills and gaps, and establishes clear escalation measures. It creates a comprehensive view of the various customer, employee, and technology touch points involved in the journey. Given the many interrelated parts, getting upstream, downstream, and executive level perspectives is crucial. Rather than having the core team develop plans in a silo and then shop them around to different stakeholders, an approach that often takes weeks, organizations get better results by bringing key stakeholders together at the outset. In a workshop setting, teams can examine ways to streamline connections, determine the reskilling required to resolve pain points, and identify the data and digital enablers needed. Similarly, the blueprint can highlight opportunities to redeploy capacity or manage existing tasks more effectively. Shifting transactional steps to bots, for instance, can help frontline personnel spend more time in relationship building activities. Likewise, adopting better data and analytics can help call center agents sound less scripted. The third is assess technology needs across multiple layers of the enterprise. Now, this is another example of big picture thinking, and this is crucial to long-term success for any enterprise. And I have seen this in my work, in my life as well. So, and again, this is McKinsey & Company. This is their take on it. And this third item, let me repeat it, assess technology across multiple layers. It says that while robotic process automation is often the first tool people think of when it comes to automation, the most successful automation efforts employ a suite of automation and artificial intelligence technologies. A methodical approach that considers both basic and aspirational needs across the three main layers of the enterprise technology stack is a good place to start. The first layer includes platform, data lakes, application programming interfaces, and services. The second is the core automation layer, and they talk about optical character recognition and natural language. And the third is cognitive-based technologies such as visual agents, machine learning, and AI. Examining each of these layers can be a helpful way to identify gaps and the most appropriate solutions to address them. While custom builds can accelerate deployment in some cases, pure play platforms and cloud-based products often make next generation AI and automation technology cheaper and easier to access. Rapid test and learning cycles can help organizations gauge the feasibility. The last item. Okay, we're almost done here. The last item. But this is good because this is talks about how we can use this. These are solution-oriented discussions. We are focusing on solutions as we try to do every week and every episode. The last item here in this rather interesting article is invest in change management from the start. Achieving sustained impact from automation requires change management discipline. Companies need to identify impacted employees, processes, and customers during the planning stages and collaborate with line leaders to support key business stakeholders from inception, not after the automation has been developed. McKinsey says that our research has shown that nearly 90% of companies that engage in successful scaling of AI and invested more than half of their budget in change management. Also, it says, the other item here on their list, they say that automation is a cross-functional team effort. They say that while multidisciplinary collaboration is often mentioned as a helpful element of many transformational efforts, it is a must here. not just to access critical expertise, but because key roles can inject a healthy tension into the planning process. By serving as the voice of their respective groups or disciplines, product design, IT, and agile leaders can help raise important questions, nudge others to expand their own thinking, and help course correction if the efforts here seem to be steering too narrowly and leave other attainable value on the table. Okay, so this article continues as they complete their discussion and justifications and their findings as they have looked at businesses in the modern enterprise. They're talking about the modern enterprise that employs in some form or fashion some kind of data analytics, some kind of process by which data can be analyzed and not just employed in a random sort of way. So they're using data analytics, and data analytics is also can be considered in terms of AI, which is stands for artificial intelligence. It also can be employed in terms of machine learning. But developing an analytical perspective requires a different set of skills and capabilities. All right, so this article is talking about, you notice that they keep coming back to a couple of major themes here. The first of them is, of course, and they use the term here, they use systems thinking. They also use things like cross-functional application. Automation, they say that automation is a cross-functional team dealing with the product owner, the designer, the automation solution architect, the operational lead, the agile leader, and so forth and so on. So cross-functionality is what they're talking about. They're also talking about other things that relate to systems thinking and also relate to what I would consider to be critical thinking, as well as big picture thinking. Now, what they're suggesting here, and this is what we've been talking about for some time, the piecemeal approach to progress is, in fact, not going to be successful. And this is true for this country as a whole, as well as the enterprises and businesses and units that we belong to, as well as our personal lives and our lives of our families. The piecemeal approach is, in fact, not going to be successful in this complex world. We need to think differently. We need to think more critically, if you will. We need to think more in terms of holistic things or systems thinking. And we certainly need to think in terms of what is the big picture. We use the term big picture thinking. Well, that went fast. So this is a close of another show, another Throttle Up. And before I go, I would like to acknowledge a few people. I'd like to thank my listening audience for being here. And I would like to thank Red State Talk Radio for providing us an opportunity for each and every weekend to put on this radio show that we call Throttle Up. And I would like to thank all of you veterans out there. Thank you for your service. And I would like to thank the families of the veterans. Thank you for supporting this noble cause. And I would like to thank all of you on active duty in the Guard and the Reserve. Thank you for serving this great country of ours. And with that, I would like to say goodbye, and we will see you all again next week.